Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. Today I'm talking to Jamie Lundy, who is the founder, CEO and creative director of 7Layer. And 7Layer is a functional first performance brand that manages to fuse fashion with function and performance with style. Their highly technical products harness a combination of innovative design, high-performance fabrics, and technically advanced manufacturing, creating luxury products that not only look great, but are built to last a lifetime. And here is Jamie to introduce the brand in his own words.
The brand initially was founded in 2015 by a designer called Dominic Stansfield, who at the time worked for a company in China called KTC. KTC, at the time, and still are one of the best factories in the world. Just excuse this siren going past.
It's a bit of life getting in the way.
Yeah. So they are renowned as one of the best factories in the world at doing manufacturing technical outerwear. So Dominic worked for them, and at the time they were working with a company called Scholle in Switzerland. And Scholle, you know, make the best fabrics in the world, stunning fabrics, very expensive, but you know, very technical fabrics, very luxurious fabrics. And so they had a close connection with KTC, and they were looking at doing what they had a concept of what the US military use, which is a 7-layer system. So that's basically, you know, the soldiers in the US would have a kit bag. It used to be, so I think it was 22 layers. And they reduced it down to 7 layers because of technology, because of intelligent fabrics. Manufacturing got, you know, better. We started doing laser cut machines. So the whole sort of concept of the kit bag came down to 7 layers, and starting from layer one, through which was a base layer, which could be, you know, your T-shirts, your shorts, long johns type of thing, all the way up to an Arctic cold layer, which was layer 7, and everything in between. Right. So Dominic worked for KTC, and they started to develop that 7-layer concept, and Dominic called it 7L. He sort of designed the logo, they got it trademarked, etc., etc. And then, so it was in its very early stages, very, you know, its infancy of the business, and they launched their AW16 collection in the UK. And it did really, really well. It was really well received. Everybody loved the concept of it. The jackets were very high spec because, obviously, Dominic, working in the factory with KTC, he was surrounded by the top trims in the world, the top fabrics in the world. So he really could create and invent anything he wanted. And so when they launched the AW16 collection, lots of retailers got hold of it, you know, and loved the concept of it. But the problem was there was no really business foundation to 7L. And Dominic had a friend over in the UK, and between the two of them, sort of tried to start up a bit of a business with 7L, and approached me quite early on to see if I would be willing to invest in the company. I'd just come from a 25-year career in engineering, and had sort of retired from engineering because we sold our family business, me, my dad, my brother.
What kind of engineering, Jim?
We were initially involved in design and building petrochemical plants many, many moons ago, about 15 years ago, and then we diversified into rail. So me and my brother started to design lots of structures and superstructures that you install on the railway. In 1999, 2000, I was actually a part of the rail track core design team that developed the West Coast signal gantry for Richard Branson's trains to run at 125 mile an hour. So obviously when that initial design came out, and that Railtrack wanted to try and do that, and the whole infrastructure from Manchester all the way down to London had to change because they had to, you know, get more capacity on the railway, changing it from 2 tracks to 4 tracks, which meant that everything that went over the railway had to be changed, and, you know, all new specifications for 125 mile an hour trains had to be developed. So for 20, let's say 15 years I was on the road as a construction manager, project director from Manchester to London, upgrading the West Coast with huge, massive railway structures and signal gantries.
We've got a lot to thank you for, Jamie, especially the people that want to do that commute, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually the last, I was the engineer on the job that moved the last signal in between all the tracks to allow Richard Branson to run all four lines with Pendolinos, which is,
That's actually a pretty cool legacy. I quite like it.
Yeah, well, seeing the trains, you know, you're opening the lines and seeing the trains run again. It was, you know, after so many years of doing what we were doing, it was good. But I ended up in London. Yeah. I ended up doing Thameslink resignalling. I went over to Reading and helped build the signalling and electrification at Reading Station. Then back over to Thameslink again to do Key Output 2. We did receive a rail award for most outstanding individual project there as well. And then, you know, being on the road for so long and being away from wife and kids and things like that, depression had, you know, taken a hold of me without knowing. I mean, I'd suffered from depression when I was about 22. And then, you know, over a 20-year career, I didn't realise that it sort of started to creep up again, and I started to nosedive pretty quick until the point where I was back home in a bit of therapy, and we decided as a family-run business to sort of call it a day, because I was sort of burnt out. My dad was, you know, the age of retirement, sort of 65. My brother was away from his kids as well, and we just thought, well, you know, we've built this amazing brand now. We've all done our innings, let's say. Let's retire my dad and let's try something else. So, yeah, you know, I think, what am I now, 43? So I was 38 when we sold the family business. And then from the depression, I went to a local... Well, I was put on medication and whatnot, and then went to a local GP, to my doctor, and just said, you know, after 6 months of being on medication, it's just not working. It's just not, you know, I can't find my happiness anywhere. And he just sort of said, you know, have you ever tried photography? And I was like, well, yeah, I used to photograph the kids on holiday and stuff. And he said, well, we'll try it, because it, you know, it gets you out of doors, gets your creative mind thinking, and just give it a go. So that's what I did. And that's when an old colleague of mine, an old friend of mine that I used to do gymnastics with, approached me to photograph the products for 7L.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen, you know, the fabrics of 7L, or these intelligent fabrics from Schoeller. And to be honest, I mean, it was very, very new in the industry as well. So like talking 2016, it was way back. And I was really impressed. I was like, because I was from a manufacturing background and an engineering background, I was just like, wow, these are amazing. You know, what are these fabrics?
I think, yeah, sounds like you got a good appreciation for design. Like me, I like things that work, and I like things that have a real good functionality. And so, yeah, I think it sounds like it did resonate with you.
The attention to detail, I was really interested in how the fabrics worked, the technology behind them, you know, the geeky stuff I found really interesting. So I did the product photography for the guys, and then, you know, from there it was basically I was looking for something else to get my teeth into and invest in, probably not what I've been doing in the railway for years, because it's unsociable hours and working every, you know, all the weekends and working. I think I did 12 Christmas days in the 15 years on the railway, so it's 12 Christmas days not seeing the kids and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, right, you know, let's get into the fashion world and let's see what this intelligent fabrics is all about. And I accepted the challenge with the guys and started to invest heavily into the brand. So for about 4 years now, excuse the tractors going past. Yeah, started heavily.
I love it. It's actually like being in my mum's garden. I'm getting a really, some really nice nostalgic sound. It's a great panoramic.
To be able to do that, I wanted to bring it back to Manchester, because you know, to be able to control the business that was over in China or Hong Kong at the time. Just, you know, we tried it for a while, but the difference in timescales, trying to get hold of our designer Dom when he was in China, it was, you know, it was proving hard work. So Dom decided to stay in Hong Kong and stay with KTC. I brought the brand back home to Manchester and wanted to start manufacturing like we'd always done with my family business, start manufacturing more in Manchester, bringing a bit more of natural fabrics into the range instead of staying 100% synthetic. I wanted to bring some more sort of cottons into the range and manufacturing locally, really, and using the resource that we have around us in Manchester. I mean,
yeah,
the Cottonopolis of the world. So
Cottonopolis, right? Yeah,
it was the
original place of back.
Yeah, why can't we do it back here? And a lot of people were saying, "Oh no, that technology's gone. No, you can't do that anymore. No, we don't do seam taping anymore." And I was like, "Why? You know, I mean, they put men on the moon these days. Why can't we start manufacturing back?"
Oh, Private White, just down the road from you, are doing it. So
yeah, I mean, we're actually working with Mike Stoll now. They're developing a seam tape jacket for us.
So they've asked. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So fully seam taped jacket. They've accepted the challenge of trying to do some stuff for us, which is amazing. And Cooper and Stoll brand. We've also got Cookson and Clegg working for us in Blackburn. They're doing a lot of our products as well now. Hallie Stevenson, the fabric company in Dundee, they're supplying a lot of our fabrics. We've got British Millerain in Rochdale that are supplying a lot of the fabrics. So we're not just doing our synthetic sort of China thing now. We're also doing, I mean, we say China, I mean, they're the best in the world at what they do. You know, the technology that they've got over there far outweighs what we've got here. Because, you know, years and years ago, we sold all our technology to China. You know, so we're now trying to get it back. But they're still the best at what they do. So our technical outerwear pieces are still done in China. A lot of our layers 1 to layer 4, which is our base layers, our mid layers, warm layers, as we call them, and our field layers are done in the UK, in Britain, made in Britain.
Okay. So it's kind of like a hybrid, basically, of the fabrics coming together, but manufactured in China. Is that right?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
The layers 5 to 7, which are the intelligent fabrics and the complex manufacturing, are done in China.
Right.
Because they, you know, they're using laser cut machines and all sorts. They're still done over there. But a lot of our natural stuff now is done in the UK.
Awesome. And I mean, it's not just outerwear jackets that you do as well. You do parkas and hoodies and stuff like that. And you've also got some new releases that have just come out in April. Can you touch upon that? What's what people can find in the latest collection?
Yeah, the Origin system that came out last October was obviously more geared towards the cold. We did lockdown jackets and whatnot, but the MTP system, we were looking for inspiration, and I've always loved as a kid playing with toy soldiers, you know, in the garden. I'm a 90s kid, you know, so I was inspired by the Berghaus jackets of old and all that sort of stuff, Oasis, and you know, that's the era I grew up in, and I've always loved vintage military. I've always been a collector of vintage military. I mean, I've got an American truck in my garden, for God's sake, you know. So, that sort of started to inspire the way the brand started to look, really, and the direction it was taking, because it was originally a very Asian brand, but it was more sort of marketed towards the younger generation. So you have to be sort of, I'd say, 18 to 22 to wear some of the gear, and I was like, that's a very niche market. Why can't we open the age range for everybody? You know, so we're not just so being so niche, and you have to be 8 stone and really slim and well toned to wear our gear. Why can't we just open it up that, you know, the normal bloke can wear our gear as well? So the MTP system sort of focused a lot on that, and we made the gear a little bit bigger. We're not doing the Italian sizes where we're wearing a 2XL, but really we're a medium.
Okay.
You know, a medium in the UK is a medium now, and it fits a medium guy or a large guy, etc. So we started off with that, and sizing was a big thing for us to try and get right. We've got a great team of garment techs behind us that do a wonderful job. They're very experienced ladies, four ladies that sort of have worked from the Berghaus of old, so very good at what they do. We started to develop the MTP system, which was based off the camo from the British military. So the colours of the camo in the British military started to inspire the colours of the collection. And I just thought after the pandemic, everybody would want to stay safe this year with colours, and sort of, so we muted them, and we had sort of browns and greens, you know, everything. We did the T-shirt I've got on now, the sky blue one.
That looks great.
The colour of the sky. So it was like a Mirage system stroke British Forces system. We looked at the American camo as well. So we had some pinks and things in there, but we decided to just go with the British sort of colours, keep it very grounded.
Are you doing most of the designing yourself now, or bringing a lot of the ideas to the table yourself?
Yeah, we do everything in-house. So I drive the creative direction of which,
yeah,
what we're going to do and what sort of theme we're going to do and why we're going to do it. I have an amazing outerwear designer in Chris Vandrell, that actually came from Mike Stoll at Cooper and Stolbrown. He at Private Whites, I went to see him for some advice because I needed some designers on board, and he actually gave me Chris's name about 2 years ago. I got in touch with Chris, and then we've never looked back.
Right.
So between the two of us, really, you know, between the two of us, we are 7L. I come up with crazy ideas, and he makes them happen. Really.
How do you go about your inspiration and your research, as it were? I mean, you've got to research all of these military backgrounds. I mean, like for example, the cold weather system that you had from the 80s that was introduced. How do you kind of go about unearthing all of this stuff from the past?
Well, I did. I mean, the brand's only been properly going since about October last year when we launched the Origin system. I think not a lot of people have really heard about us since then. Before then, sorry. But, you know, 3 years before that was the research time. So I'd put a lot of work into, you know, reading about the US military, because the seven-layer system is based off originally the US military, but now it can be any sort of military vintage military we look at. If we like a pocket, we'll use it. So I started collecting, you know, I've got, about 500 vintage military jackets now, which my...
That sounds epic.
It goes mad at me for. But these are some of the, you know, the rarest pieces of military bits and bobs you can get. So I've got a great dealer. Shout out to Saunders in Canada. He sort of sources all the military bits for us. And then says, I've got an amazing piece, would you like it? And then I'll say, yeah, it's amazing, and I'll buy it. And then my missus starts going, oh my god, the house is stinking of old military stuff. And I'm like, brand, you know, we'll, you know, appreciate it when it's done, and da, da, da. So now I've got a storage facility full of archive stuff from the military. Chris has just been here for the last 2 days actually, and we've just basically had everything all over the floor, and we just get inspired by different pieces, you know, because in the military they seem to, like, when you have the button in thermal layers, and, you know, it's all the part about the layering system, which matches what we're doing today. Is that, you know, as the modernist consumer, we're all looking at layering up, layering down, keeping things, you know, light, putting our rucksacks if it starts raining, the stuff that we're wearing sort of water repellent. It's all to do with, like, the urban environment as well. So yeah, we get a lot of inspiration from that. In the 3 years prior to launching the brand properly, I travelled the world. I talked to glaciologists about what they needed out, you know, in the Arctic. So we actually ended up sending a glaciologist and a scientist to the Arctic to test our jackets and see whether the down was, you know, and the jackets were good enough. Actually, if we were saying that they're Arctic jackets, then they should be tested in the Arctic. And they came back saying they were amazing and stuff like that. So there's, you know, a lot of research from that point of view as well. And I do a lot of reading. I'm always on Pinterest I'm always on Instagram. I'm always reading what other brands are doing. You've got to continuously keep your finger on the pulse, but also not be afraid to try new things. Just because, you know, somebody else isn't doing it doesn't make it wrong. So I'm always coming up with whether we can, you know, what's the next stage? What's the next step? What's the new innovation? Where we're looking next? You know, who else can we talk to that, you know, brings a new fabric to the table that nobody's ever used before or seen before? Because it keeps it exciting then, you know, for the consumer. Well, and it's also for us. So it, you know, we, and me and Chris inspire each other. We can spend 2 days with each other and come up with a brand new collection, you know, and then run with it. And then sometimes when you're making things or you sample things, they don't quite work, or they, you know, in that color it's not right, or that fabric it doesn't sit right. So there's a lot of development work goes into it. But I think the hardest thing we've developed is a t-shirt. An actual t-shirt.
How come? Hardest thing,
like, well, it just sits on the body, you know. So a jacket is like, you can have it oversized and it sort of fits people, and but a t-shirt actually fits and hangs.
Yeah, there's no getting away with it. Yeah, yeah.
No, there's no getting away with it. It's got to fit nice, got to fit right.
So, yeah, or else it just looks crap, right? I mean, it's just it's boxy and shapeless.
Yeah, exactly. And I quite like a bit of an oversized tee. Yeah, it's just the way I am. But and then obviously, as we've gone along and consume, you know, the customers like, do you do more fitted tees? And so we started. So our t-shirts are made at English Fine Cottons in Duckingfield, which is in Manchester. It's an old cotton mill. So it's the first time we've started spinning cotton again in over 70 years. And they're making our t-shirt straight out of the old cotton mill, which has been an incredible story for us. They make our sweaters and our hoodies as well. So it's local in the area. It's about 8 miles away from where I'm sat now, which is, you know, great for the story. And then we've started doing some more fitted active tees with Supima Cotton over in California. So that's quite an amazing little collaboration at the moment. Supima's the best cotton you can get in, well, one of the best cottons you can get in the world from California. Mm-hmm. They're doing a bit of a collaboration with us at the moment, creating, you know, base layer sort of t-shirts that are a bit more stretchy, a bit more athletic as well. Nice. So yeah, we're constantly developing and we're constantly making and, you know, looking for inspiration anywhere really.
That sounds like to me that's probably the most, or one of the most rewarding parts for you, and the most enjoyable part is doing all the creating.
Yeah,
like sourcing and doing the researching and kind of doing those collaborations. One step beyond that, what is like the most enjoyable part for you? I guess seeing the finished product or seeing people wear it is also going to be a good bonus, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I think the most enjoyable part for me is people enjoying what we're doing. You know, the feedback that we get from the fans and followers that are buying the stuff. You know, we're selling 4 or 5 jackets to the same customers. You know, they keep coming back and the repeat business is great. That's, for me, you know, we put all the hard work in, put the design in, you know, all the bits and bobs to make it all happen, all the headaches. And then at the end, when people are really liking what we're doing, that's the most rewarding thing for me. People wearing the jackets with pride, or, you know, they text us lots of photographs saying this is the best thing I've ever worn. You know, we've got hardcore fans out there that are sort of with the, you know, CP Company fans, the Stone Island fans. You've got 10C. There's so many great brands out there. And then these guys are not just buying their products, but buying 7L as well and coming back and saying, this is just amazing. It's, you know, it's an amazing product. It's the best thing I've worn. It's really rewarding when you hear that.
Well, Jamie, it sounds like it's got a brand that's got a massive broad appeal, because like if you look at the products and you the history and where it's coming from, you've got kind of Manchester element, the mod element, like you say, I'm a 90s boy as well, huge Oasis fan, and you always have those kind of influences in the fashion element, but you've got the military background to it as well. So I imagine there's a big appeal with people like servicemen and people that really appreciate the utility of something like this as well.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of
I mean, we've got a lot of servicemen that buy the stuff as well. We have a captain in the British Forces that actually loves the gear, and we send it over to him. So, you know, that's great, because he's, you know, using it as obviously a fashionable item, but he can appreciate the quality of, you know, it being military spec, especially our field players that we did a collaboration with Arcare. I wanted to do that collab, so we did bring that military aspect to the brand, but again, make it authentic, so it is military, because they make for the military. So the Arcare jackets and the field jackets and parkas that we've got are military specification, But then, you know, we've got this amazing camo that we did that was developed by Arca with Dinsmore Mill in Ireland. And it's an organic cotton, has a DWR finish, which is a water repellent. It's drop lined, the whole jacket's fully seam taped, so it's fully waterproof. You know, it's for me a piece of artwork. And one of the criterias, let's say, that I gave to Chris when we're designing things is everybody has to say, oh, that's good, when they put the jacket on. Everybody has to feel that it feels good. And then if it doesn't, then it's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of the criterias, you know, do you get that ooh feeling when you put stuff on?
Because you need to feel special in these clothes, right, as well. I mean, that's the whole point for you. You want people to actually, you know, feel like there's a bit of X factor going on with these clothes.
It's a bit of an experience, yeah. I think that if you're going to invest in a brand and invest in something, instead of, you know, being disappointed when you buy an £80 T-shirt and you open it and you think, oh my God, why have I just paid 80 quid for that? It doesn't fit right. It doesn't sit on me right. It's twisted. It shrinks in the wash when you wash it. You know, I mean, what we're trying to do at 7L is, you know, and there is the word sustainability going about, but it is about making clothes that last longer. You know, making clothes that are not going to go into landfill the first and second time you wear them because they've misshaped and things like that.
And made locally as well, so kind of made carbon local. Zero almost, yeah, in a way.
Yeah. Buying sensibly, you know, you're buying quality all the time, and that's, you know, having the 7-layer system, as the 7 layers in the brand, has allowed us to be very diverse. So we don't directly really compete with anybody. We're our own entity, because we can do down jackets to 3-layer outerwear jackets to cotton jackets to ventile jackets. We can have systems where we could do a space system. So next Christmas for AW22, we're looking at, you know, the Mars and the space type of systems where we could make it reflective outerwear and go really loud with it and be very fashionable with it. But then we could create another system like the MTP system that's very sort of outdoors, down to earth, you know, and the way we've developed the brand allows us to do that. So it keeps it very exciting. We're not just sort of niched into one area where we just have to do down coats. You know, we've got some great mid layers shirts that have got cool max technology. So when they, you know, when it's sunny, it basically the cool max helps cool you inside. So it, you know, we've got cold black technology from Scholler that's UV protected, you know, so when you're wearing stuff, you're actually UV protected from the sun. And it also stops the heat from going through the garments and stuff. So there's plenty of technology within what we do, but we also make it look pretty cool to wear as well.
Interesting. Well, Jamie, I feel like I could talk to you for hours on this subject. It's really interesting. Many layers to the story, if you don't mind me and the pun. It's curious that you're saying that I'm talking to you about this, because I'm actually in the middle of an idea. It's an idea that I've been pitching around to some publishers for a while, of the most famous movie jackets on screen that people have seen over the years. So I'm just in the mold of putting that presentation together, and you obviously have the military Parker from Taxi Driver, or, you know, the Decode from Top Gun Aviator jackets and stuff like that. Do you have any, when you look at films, do you kind of take inspiration from that, or do you kind of pick one out and go, oh, that's a nice jacket, let's have a look at something like that?
Well, we're doing a collaboration at the moment with a big Swiss company, watchmaker. They create watches that are like £30,000 a watch, you know, beautiful watches. They really wanted to do something with us. So at the moment, our mood board looks back to the 1979 film Alien.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So we're taking, you know, a lot of inspiration from, because, you know, films of old were way ahead of the, you know, Star Wars. Let's say we look at the color palettes of Star Wars that George Lucas used to do, and, you know, there's a lot of inspiration from the old sort of films that we use as well. So like Alien, the colors that we're using at the moment, he wears a great mid-layer shirt, a bit like this blue that I've got on now. We're always looking at any sort of inspo from different films. to bring, you know, our collections together. So, but it will always throw that tech element at it. So it won't just be a cotton t-shirt or a cotton mid-layer shirt. It will be a cotton stretch with the DWR on it, or some sort of wicking technology inside it, or something that just makes it a little bit more exciting for you to show your mate in the pub.
Yeah. Yeah. And have, I mean, that's what I've always had as a, well, since I've been buying clothes, is always to have a story behind whatever it is that I'm wearing.
Yeah.
It's a nice little icebreaker that you might need.
Yeah.
On a certain occasion.
Yeah. We're all geeks at heart. You know, we all like,
yeah,
collect a badge, or, you know, so we've got the 7L badges now that have become a bit of a collector's item. And people are starting to, so I think we've got four out at the moment. So we've got the two OGs, the originals, which are like the black and white, and then they're just the black one. And then we've got green ones coming out, blue ones coming out, got a red one coming out. And we get a lot of people asking, you know, can we buy them separately? And a lot of collectors now. So, you know, it's like I say, 7L's doing its own thing. We're enjoying it because people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, if we were doing it and nobody was buying it, or everybody thought it was rubbish, then you'd be very disheartened. But we, again, me and Chris get a lot of inspiration from people loving what we're doing. So great. We'll just continue to keep doing what we're doing, and we'll use inspiration from all around the world. It's been difficult because we've not been able to travel. So, you know, we've had to take a lot of inspo from like the internet and what other brands are doing as well. And then hopefully we'll be able to go and see our ambassadors as well, because we're doing a lot of work with people around the world as well. So it'd be nice to go and see them. One's a photographer called Jimmy Nelson. We're doing a bit of work with him. He's a great photographer that does a lot of work with sort of African tribes, and, you know, going into Africa and taking photographs of just like amazing natural places and stuff like that. So we're doing a bit of work with him where we've made a portable camera with Ghibellini cameras in Italy. So they basically, nice. They're like the old full frame cameras with the bellows in the middle.
Yeah.
So Alessandro,
like the accordion, so yeah.
Yeah. He managed to 3D print one. Well, they 3D print their cameras. So he did a 3D print for us. He's put, you know, 7L on it. We've now got the camera. We're going to be giving that to, a couple of ambassadors that are going over to Iceland in a couple of weeks' time. They're going to use the camera to take some photographs while they're over there with our gear on and enjoy all that story.
Oh, nice.
And then he's going over to Jimmy Nelson, who's then going to take it to one of his photo shoots in maybe Africa or wherever he's going, and take the camera to do that. And so we've got some exciting little projects coming up.
Sounds good. Yeah. How's your photography these days? Are you still taking photos of the products?
Yeah, I do. I mean, everything on the website, well, on the Instagram at the moment, is mine. I have brought in now another company called Waste Studio. A shout out to those guys, who are amazing. Norm at Waste is now taking on that responsibility for helping me do, because the busier we're getting, and obviously I've got to run the business as well and the brand.
Yeah.
I can't always be taking photographs. So those guys are now going to start taking our flat shots and helping us do with the campaigns. We're also having a brand new website built at the moment. It's a very tech website. At the minute, the website that we've got, again, was sort of developed by me. As you start off with a brand, you don't know whether people are going to like it or not. So, you know, but the more we've gone along over the last 12 months, we've seen that people are really into it, and it's building quite nicely. So we're doing a brand new website now. It's very, very sort of graphically driven, you know, high tech. It's going to look amazing. It should be ready in about 8 weeks' time for the launch of our new collection for Christmas. So that's all going to coincide. And then hopefully, you know, Waste Studio and the guys will take on the campaigns and the editorials that we need as well, which then frees me up a little bit more to do what I'm best at. Branding, nice. Running around doing photographs everywhere. Yeah, you just evolve. We've evolved as a business, and we've evolved as a brand. And it's been exciting up to now, and it's becoming more and more exciting, because we love to be creative. We love to meet great professionals around the world. And it's like you say, we get inspired by different things all the time. So
awesome.
It's all good for fans and followers.
I know you've got a new website coming, but in the meantime, people can still visit 7layer.com and have a look through some of the, not just some of the products, but also some of the great articles on the site and some of the history on the military layering, etc. It's all up there. It's a great place to forage around.
Have you done any videos on the archives that you got, like the 500 odd uniforms in warehouses?
Not yet, but we will be doing. I've had a lot of requests from people. We started up like a little 7L underscore vintage Instagram page. Everything on there is everything we've used so far, but I've got tons to put on there. It's just finding time to photograph them and get them on.
I am going to look for that now. 7L underscore vintage.
Yeah. But yeah, we will be doing, and we'll be doing a few store days where we'll just put out the vintage stuff, and we'll be putting stories up of where the vintage, you know, parkas came from. So, for instance, we have quite a few parkas that are made from Ventile, and Ventile was actually developed by or created by Winston Churchill to protect the pilots that ended up in the sea. So it gave them about 20 minutes before they perished. And it took 20 minutes for us to be able to go and get them back out the sea and then put them back in an aeroplane. So the Ventile story came from Manchester. Was started by Winston Churchill because he needed a fabric that was waterproof. You know, we've got a few RAF parkas that are made from Ventile, and then we'll be using Ventile very shortly for our AW22 collection. So Ventile is now owned by... Well, it's Swiss now. The Brits sold it to the Swiss.
Right.
And we'll be bringing a bit of that back home and doing some Ventile jackets, and with a bit of a nod to, you know, the old RAF parkas as well.
These are things of beauty. I'm on the Instagram now. 7L underscore vintage. People can have a look at these parkas. Just the old, you got like a floral leaf pattern, or is that a moss green one there? The Jeremy Army reversible snow camo.
Yeah. So we'll get jackets like that. And then we've got like a bomber coming out this winter. Well, autumn actually. It's a bomber, it's a tech bomber. So it's all made from Prima Loft Down, has very techie fabrics, and we'll just tack it all up. So it's not like the old vintage stuff. It's just based off that aesthetically, but it's very cool.
Yeah.
Got lots of bits and bobs coming out like that. So.
Oh, mate. Well, it's been a real pleasure to get to know your brand a bit better and to get to know you, Jamie. So thanks so much for your time in between all these projects you got on the go. Very interested in the alien watch. I don't know what that's going to be called, or the product that's going to come out of the collaboration with the watch company. But
They're developing it already. I mean, the watch is amazing. It's very high tech. The company... which I won't say the name yet because we've not finalised the agreement. But, supplied Iron Man, the movie, with his watch and stuff like that. So it's very high tech, very beautiful things. But they only make a limited edition of, say, 12 watches in the world. We'll have a 7L logo on their watch, and they'll have their brand on our stuff as well as a collab. And it's going to be fun. Going to be really good.
I'm really looking forward to that. So I'll be keeping an eye on what's going on the website, and everyone else should be as well. Jamie, thanks so much for your time, mate. Best of luck with getting that broadband sorted, but
yeah, thank you.
Consolation, you can still go to the end of the garden and get some good connection. It's worked so far.
Weather's not always like this though, is it? It's normally raining in Manchester. That's why we've got waterproofs.
yeah, all right, mate. Well, listen, I'll let you go and crack on with your day, but thanks again for taking time out.
Thank you, mate. Much appreciated. Cool.
How about that? Thank you, Jamie. And the website, once again, 7layer.com. That's the place to go to have a look at all the garments. And we'll put all the show notes over at menswearstyle.co.uk. Make sure you're following us on the socials so you can get updated when we do new posts, podcasts, etc. And if you want to come on the show, maybe tell us about your brand and your journey, then email us here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay, thanks a lot. Until next time.